Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's time now for the Afro Check-In. That's a regular feature here on our program where we sit down with our colleagues at the Baltimore Afro-American newspapers to talk about some of the important stories of the day. This week, with early voting in the Maryland primaries just over 2 weeks away, tensions continue to simmer between the campaign of gubernatorial candidate Valerie Irvin and the Maryland State Board of Elections. The board's refusal to print new ballots with Irvin's name at the top of the ticket, rather than that of her former running mate, the late Kevin Kamenetz, has the former Montgomery County Councilwoman considering legal action against the state. Also, grief and racial tension on both sides of the city-county line as the death of Baltimore County Police Officer Amy Caprio and the subsequent charges handed down to four Baltimore City teens has unleashed a torrent of political mudslinging and racially charged bitterness. Joining me here in Studio A, Sean Yost. He's the Baltimore editor of the Afro-American newspapers and the host of the podcast Afro First Edition. Sean's also the co-host of a new podcast that has its home here at WIPR. It's called Truth and Reconciliation. We are streaming on the WIPR Facebook page. You can catch us there. You can also send us an email, midday@wipr.org. You can send us a tweet at @MiddayWIPR, and you can give us a call, 410-662-8780. Mr. Yost, good to see you, sir.
Tom, it's good to be here.
So let's talk first about the reaction to the arrests of these four teenagers from the city of Baltimore who were involved in the death of Amy Caprio, the Baltimore County police officer who was investigating reports of a burglary. This has really become a heated subject on both sides of the city, as we say, the city and county.
You're right. The thing that I would say, I guess, to lead off is the first concern needs to be for Amy Caprio's family. I think this young lady was about to turn 30 years old. And she was about to celebrate her 30th birthday. I think her and her husband were getting ready to go on vacation and celebrate their birthday and anniversary. And he's not, you know, he'll never, her family will never see her again. So I think that when we look at this situation, we have to step back and kind of put our priorities in order. And that should be, you know, the thing that we kind of deal with first and foremost, their loss. Now, when you talk about the racial dynamic connected to the story, then, you know, that's a whole different scenario. And I would point to Jean Marbella's story in The Sun, where she says Baltimore County police officer's death ignites a racial firestorm. Well, I would argue there has never not been a racial firestorm when it comes to Baltimore. When it comes to the dynamic between Baltimore City and Baltimore County, Baltimore is one of the ongoing narratives of our city is a racial firestorm. And it's only a matter of how much we're able to kind of quell it or how high and low it actually goes. So, this is a story that we've seen over and over and over again.
It brings up a number of questions, one of which is whether or not these teenagers should be charged as adults.
Of course.
This comes up all the time. There are many advocates saying, given the high rates of incarceration, particularly of African-American young men, that charging them in the juvenile system is the better way to go. Mm-hmm. Of course, Mr. Harris, Donta Harris, who's the person accused of driving the car that killed Officer Caprio, was in the juvenile system, had escaped from the juvenile facility, was on home detention under the supervision of the juvenile court. And so there are many people agreeing with the Baltimore County prosecutors who've charged not just Donta Harris, but all four of the children with murder in the first degree of Officer Caprio as adults.
And you said the word, children. One of the boys was 15 years old. So Donta Harris was the young man who allegedly ran over the police officer. He's 16 years old. The three boys were allegedly in the house when that happened, or they weren't in the car. They didn't play any direct part, obviously, in the death of Officer Caprio. So the question to me, and I think a lot of people, is why are you charging these boys as adults in this? I mean, I think that's a fair question. I think it's an essential question to ask. And I still don't know the answer to that. Why are you? I wrote in my column last week that the message that Baltimore County is putting out in charging those three in particular, as I think I would somewhat argue all four, but I think from my perspective, those three that were not directly connected to the death of Officer Caprio, the message that is being sent by Baltimore County in charging those three boys as adults with first degree murder is unmistakable. Advocates for police, for law enforcement would say, well, yeah, the message is unmistakable. We won't tolerate the deaths of police officers at the hands of suspects. Okay. I think there are other people that think that there's another unmistakable message, is that three black boys coming out to Baltimore County to cause mayhem, they won't get the opportunity to ever do that again. As a matter of fact, they probably will never, if they're convicted, if it happens, which is a big if, but if it happens, they'll never probably be free again. They'll be old men. Their lives are wiped out. And these are the scenarios that we find ourselves confronted with as a community.
And this case is not without precedent to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Right about Dwight Pettit, who's a well-known defense attorney, and a case that he had 20 years ago, mm-hmm. Of an 18-year-old young man who was involved in a very similar kind of situation, or a somewhat similar kind of situation.
Right. And that young man was acquitted. Because there was such a lack of a better term, and it was a term that Dwight used with me when I talked to him, such a bloodlust for a conviction of this young man who killed a police officer.
In a moving vehicle.
In a moving
fleeing from police.
Fleeing from police, traveling at 104 miles per hour, and this officer tried to block his car. And so he was killed in the process. This young man didn't. From the defense's standpoint, didn't intentionally try to kill this police officer, but that's what happened. And so the point that Dwight was making is that in the process of this bloodlust, in the process of this zeal to convict this young man who killed this police officer, mistakes were made, not just in the investigation, but in the actual court proceedings. And ultimately, this is what led to this young man's acquittal.
Yeah, you know, we had things on the Baltimore County Fire website, the Twitter account, mm-hmm. A comment from someone in Baltimore County. I'm personally tired of good-for-nothing hood rats committing adult crimes and people still saying crap like he had hard times growing up. Society made him do these things because he had no role models. This story, to mm-hmm. a certain extent, fits perfectly into the scenario that says all these kids from Baltimore City, all these young African-American kids are criminals, the way these four kids have been charged, as if this is the rule and not the exception.
Which is,
and it plays into, you know, there are even certain people running for public office who are stoking those fires to have that narrative be the dominant narrative.
Yeah. Pat McDonough was in here the last time I was here. He was coming in. I never speak to Pat McDonough. I don't have anything to say to Pat McDonough because he is...
He's a candidate for county executive, and one of his supporters right after this terrible incident happened said, see, this is why we shouldn't have Section 8 housing in Baltimore County.
Well, and Pat McDonough also said, I think via social media, consistently referred to the young men as thugs, these thugs. Let's be clear. Thug is a code word. That conservatives like or people, you know, conservative, I don't know if I want to use that word, but people like Pat McDonough use when describing young black boys or young black men. And I think without me getting too graphic, we know what that code word really means. You can get away with saying thug, 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 thug. You know, it's indicative. You know, Pat McDonough's position, I would argue, is indicative of the position of the leader of the Republican Party. And even though we are dealing with another racial firestorm, or the quelling of a racial firestorm, or the rising of a racial firestorm. Certainly, the leader of the Republican Party has been throwing gasoline on that firestorm from his position in the White House.
Yeah, we got another firestorm that we haven't had time to talk about. We'll talk about it next time. This is Valerie Ervin's potential lawsuit against the Board of Elections. That's all the time we have today.
Are we out of time?
We are. Wow. We are. It goes fast. really sorry, but appreciate your coming in, and we will check in again very soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.
Sean Yost is the Baltimore editor of the Afro-American newspaper and the host of the podcast Afro First Edition. He's also the co-host of WIPR's latest podcast, Truth and Reconciliation. By the way, Sean and I are going to be part of a panel tonight that includes Mark Steiner of the Center for Emerging Media and the activist Catalina Byrd. It's called Moving from Protest to Policy, Making Advocacy Count. It's being presented by the Associated Black Charities. We're going to talk about the Maryland General Assembly session that's just concluded, what passed, what stalled. That starts at 6 o'clock tonight at the University of Maryland School of Social Work on Redwood Street. We want to thank Joe Squared for providing lunch today. Joe Squared serves coal-fired pizzas, risotto, and local craft beers. Locations and hours at joesquared.com. Join us tomorrow when Dr. Miho Tanaka will be here. We'll talk about stuff that might hurt you if you're getting ready to run the Baltimore 10-miler this Saturday. We look forward to seeing you then. Thanks for being with us today. Have a good one.